Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning and welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. How can we empower our kids to stand up to bullies in their school and even protect other kids from being bullied? Joining us to get into that somewhat thorny topic is author, speaker, and bullying expert Paul Coughlin. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to Faith Radio.
Hey, good morning to you, Bill. Great to be with you.
Now, people are often surprised to learn that bullying is actually the number one form of child abuse in the country. Why is it we don't think of bullying as child abuse?
Yeah, because we often think that bullying is about conflict and misunderstanding, maybe even miscommunication to people who are unable to get along, when in reality, it's not about those things. Bullying is really about disdain and contempt. It is about looking down our nose on another person. And when we have disdain and contempt for another person, we often believe that they deserve to be abused. So, you know, those of us who don't bully and we look at the behavior of a bully and we're just astonished. We can't believe that they're doing what they're doing. Well, that's because we don't usually look at other people the same way. Your average bully believes they're actually superior to other people. Therefore, other people deserve that horrible treatment. And the other thing, too, is that many targets of bullying, they just don't talk. They don't really tell you what's going on. So we're left watching from the outside, not really fully understanding what is happening to that poor kid on a regular basis at school and even outside of school, including Sunday school.
Now, Paul, in the past, there was this belief, and you would often hear teachers say this, well, the reason that that kid bullies other kids is, you know, they don't feel good about themselves inside, so they have to make other people feel bad too. But the research just in recent years has shown us something very different, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah, we had this belief that, you know, bullies feel bad about themselves, so they hurt other people. In reality, due to self-surveys and things like that, your average bully believes that they're just fine. Your average bully actually believes has average to excessive self-esteem. And we know this through studies. They'll ask a bully, a kid who bully, how good are you at math? How good are you at English? How popular are you? And they almost always test themselves off the charts. They think they're wonderful. They think their classmates love them. When in reality, at least in high school, they can be among the most despised kids in the entire class. So they have a very inflated view of themselves. It is not self-hate that gets them to do the things they do in many cases, many times, but it's actually self-love. It is pride and hubris in a really young body.
Which is very scary. And the other thing that I find so scary about the more recent bullying research is that many of these kids actually get pleasure out of bullying someone.
They do. I mean, they enjoy pain and suffering, the humiliation, the isolation of other kids. And that is the definition of sadism. A sadist enjoys what they're doing to other people. You know, Bill, I was horribly bullied as a kid. And at the same time, like a lot of kids, I actually bullied for a little bit for about 6 months or so in high school. And I did it through sarcasm. And I would profile the people I would go after, usually during parties, and I'd nail them with sarcasm. And I enjoyed what I was doing to that other person. It was pleasurable to control and dominate another person. So when we think of bullying, we really need to think of it in terms as control and domination. They're very, very similar to like a sexual assault. It's just more of a psychological assault.
Now, you say, Paul, very clearly that parents, not teachers, are actually the frontline defense against bullying. And that kind of goes contrary to what a lot of the literature in the past has said. Why is it so important for moms and dads to be so proactive in this area?
Well, yeah, we often think that we can't understand why the teacher, for example, doesn't do something about it. It's one of the biggest complaints we get here at the Protectors. And in many cases, many times, the teacher did not see it happen. Again, we think bullies have an inability to, like, control their anger. We think that they're very obvious in their behavior, when in reality, they're highly selective. They're very, very predatory in who, how, and when they attack another person. They want their peers to see it, but they don't want authority to see it. So what authority usually sees is the retaliation to the bullying, but not the bullying itself. So the bully really wants to hide their behavior. And as parents, what we need to do if we truly want to diminish bullying is that we need to expect our child to do something life-affirming when they witness bullying take place, because a bully is not looking for a fight. They're looking to overwhelm, and they want to do it in front of other people. Well, if the other people don't give them the payoff, if our child doesn't give them the payoff that they're looking for, it's not worth it for the bully. So what can our kids do? What can we do as parents? We can expect our child to intervene right away with assertive but nonviolent behavior, usually words, stop it, that's wrong, let's do something else. They can comfort the target afterward. Only about 13% of bystanders ever help a target. Most kids will actually join the bully. And then we can report, not tattle to authority, what they saw and what they heard. If we as parents and guardians expected our child to do something proactive in that situation, 80% of bullying would be over with in about 2 weeks. So we got to change how we expect our kids to behave when they witness bullying take place. And when they do, that's how we're going to diminish bullying.
And that's what your organization, the Protectors, focuses on. And we'll talk about that here in just a bit. Paul, a few years ago, you wrote a book that encourages parents, especially Christian parents, to raise more assertive and bold children. In fact, you've got this entire chapter in your book. It's devoted to the dangers of a nice Christian upbringing. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, you know, we've created, I think we believe that the best thing we can do as parents is to create a nice kid. And what's really interesting about the word nice, it comes from the root word, a Latin French word meaning ignorant. It historically has not been a compliment to say that a person was a nice person. It usually meant that a person was kind of weak. And in reality, nice people tend to be pretty weak. Niceness is often a knee-jerk reaction in order to please other people. It is not the same as kindness. Kindness is a choice. And usually, in order to be kind to someone, for example, we actually have to disagree with another person. So we actually have to have courage in order to be consistently kind to another person. I think we've lost that memo somehow, particularly in church culture, and especially in a church culture where it seems supposedly, you know, that the ideal Christian is one who overparents their children. I get to coach those overparented kids as a boys varsity soccer coach, and I want to give them a T-shirt that says, does not play well with others, right? They would get rid of the ambiguity. They just don't play well with others. And they can often be full of themselves because the world is all about them and because the world has been all about them. Or they tend to be very fragile. They tend to be the kind of kid who never really exerts his or her will. And think about it. Why should that kid exert their will? Mom, usually it's mom, has done everything for them. And unfortunately, what happens is they get lost in the shuffle of youth culture, and they tend to become very, very high targets of bullying because, they don't exert their will. Bullies look for non-assertive people. It's mostly body language that they profile with. And that's the kind of person they zero in on because, again, they're not looking for a fight. They want to overwhelm. And so they want to go after the kids that they believe are weak and who don't exert themselves. So we really need to change how we parent. And we really need to look at the real Jesus. You know, Jesus was not a nice person. He was a good person, and there's a world of difference between the two.
Joining us is Paul Coughlin. He's an author, speaker, and the founder of the Protectors organization. Paul, it seems like the average kid today tends to be a little more timid and fearful than when I was growing up, and maybe I'm just looking at the past through rose-colored glasses. Do you think that's really accurate?
there's some truth to that. We seem to have this kind of perfect storm when it comes to bullying. We are apparently becoming more crass and cruel toward one another on a regular basis, starting with adult culture, and our kids are sadly watching us be so awful, you know, to one another, especially through like reality TV. And then we have this other side of that coin where kids just don't have the support structure that they once did. Many parents are surprised when I tell them, when I go into public schools and we go into private Christian schools, that I have to be very, very careful when I use the term parent, because many of these kids, they don't have a parent. They're mm-hmm. living with guardians. They're living with aunts and uncles. So it's not the way it used to be. It used to be that many of us had a mom and a dad that we went home to. Some of these kids I speak with, including Christian school, they'd never met their father, and wow. it's really painful. So they just don't have that support structure, that safety net that was once underneath them, the way that we did when we were growing up.
Now, a few years ago, you started an organization called The Protectors to respond to bullying. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, about 12 years ago or so, we started an organization. It came out of a book that I wrote called No More Christian Nice Guy, and where trying to get people to, you know, stand up for other people because they really need the help of other people. Some people are incapable of self-rescue in some situations. They need someone to intervene. And back then, you know, people thought it was a good idea but not necessary. Today, it's seen as very necessary given many of the headlines that we read about in regard to school shootings. 85% of school shooters say they did it because of revenge against bullying. So we started an organization to really take on the problem of bullying, and especially within the faith community, within the Christian church. And because if you look at this topic, it really is about human dignity. If you look at most of Western culture and you look at the people who stood up for human dignity, sex trade, and as well as slavery, it's mostly been people of faith. It's been Christians on the front line. Well, something similar is happening today. People really are having their God-given dignity stripped from them. And that dignity is a gift from God being made in his image. And what we need to do is stand up for them as believers, as people of faith. It's really one of the most unrecognized missionary fields today. And our goal today is to get the church on board to really be the tip of the spear against what is the number one form of child abuse in the nation.
What are some of the things you teach kids in The Protectors, Paul?
Yeah, so we teach them a lot. So in regard to targets, we teach them to fake it till they make it or they become it. A lot of this is based on the work of Amy Cuddy of Harvard. And body language is really important. Again, we communicate a lot with how we hold ourselves. And when it comes to bullying, you know, the studies show that bullies profile in September. And by October, usually, they have found almost all of their targets. And they're looking for that kid who just looks uncomfortable, who's not going to defend themselves when provocation comes along. So we train them how to appear more confident even when they don't feel that confident inside. And we have a lot of success stories across the country there. But the number one thing we do is we help that bystander become what we call an alongside stander. Only about 13% of bystanders ever help the target. About 40 to 60% will actually join the bully. And that's because cruelty is currency in youth culture, especially middle school. So we train kids how to stand up for that other kid without falling down. And we do that a number of ways. One is through the power of two. We have kids across the country making an agreement with one another that they'll defend each other from bullying. But then if they see someone else being bullied, they will stand up for that kid as well. And it's changing school culture.
You told me something a couple of years ago, Paul, which stunned me, how quickly the bullying will stop if a couple of kids, two or three kids, just say something.
All they have, it is remarkable. Yeah, there's one study out of Oregon that says if one person, and they don't even have to be popular or big in size, if they just use assertive and nonviolent words, stop it, leave that person alone, that that incident of bullying can end 58% of the time within 6 to 8 seconds. And it's a very, very powerful tool. The sooner we can teach our kids how to use their words in an assertive and nonviolent way, the brighter their future is going to become. You know, no is a spiritual word. And I think we've kind of lost that when we think about the people we admire the most. They've been people who have said no to things, and the power, the strength, and the courage that comes into the soul of a kid when they learn how to say no, it's just remarkable. It's life-changing. I just spoke with a kid who took the power of two seriously in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they changed another kid's life who was being bullied. But what he said was he changed his own life when he stood up for that kid. He saw his faith in action in a way he had never seen it before, and it actually gave him the confidence to try out to be the high school quarterback, the varsity starting quarterback, and that is what he is right now. And he says that that moment when he stood up for that kid who was being bullied, that is what fundamentally changed how he viewed life and how he viewed himself.
Amazing. Paul, I know you believe that really anti-bullying can be the next mission field for the church. And it seems to me that you're doing just that. You're helping kids do just that at the Protectors.
We are. You know, imagine, Bill, you know, let's say you look back on your school years, right, and you look back and you think to yourself, you know, come to think of it, those Christians, when they saw someone being bullied, they actually helped that person. They didn't become bullies themselves, but boy, they sure stood up for that person in a really great way. There must be something different about those people. Imagine, Bill, if that is how we were perceived. I know this is a tough time for Christianity in America. It seems to be slipping by way of attendance and things like that. Boy, if we start doing this, the world will admire that, and they're going to admire it without us pandering to them. When you look at the people who are admired throughout history, it's almost always been people of courage who've stood up for other people. This is a remarkable opportunity to do just that.
Paul Coughlin, thanks so much for your time today. The organization is called The Protectors. You can learn more at theprotectors.org. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate so much what you're doing to make a difference in this world.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.